Our lesson this morning is Christ's gracious solution to a humanly caused division. It's out of Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 40. We believers are supposed to seek to preserve the unity of the church created by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, 3 tells us, endeavoring to preserve or to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. However, the reported division between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, 36 to 40 seems to conflict with this call. For both men went their separate ways to do God's will over an unsolvable difference between them. However, this disagreement could have been avoided had they followed the Lord's directives with greater accuracy. And this, of course, is a tremendous lesson of importance for us today. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word this morning. Thank you, Father, for your tremendous love, your grace, your unmerited favor to us in Christ. We thank you for the way the Spirit of God has been granted to us as believers, who indwells us to be our teacher, our paraclete, our helper, our guide, the one who corrects and parents us. And thank you, Father, that we have the Word of God in our own language. We know that this produces a tremendous responsibility to study it and to use it and to teach it. So we ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the Word of God this morning and to use it properly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage of Scripture and then we'll look at it in depth. We're in Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 36 and going to verse 40. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the Word of the Lord and see how they are doing." And Barnabas determined to take along with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Okay, Paul and Barnabas had a deep disagreement in planning a second missionary journey. After some time at the home churches, that's what we would call it today, the sending church, in Antioch of Syria, and after their first missionary journey, Paul suggested to Barnabas that they revisit the churches that they had established to edify them. Now, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along, and we know from Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. He was the son of Barnabas' sister. And his sister owned a home in Jerusalem. Remember when Peter was released from prison in Acts chapter 12, he went to the home of Mary, who was the mother of John Mark, where a whole group of Christians were gathered praying. Apparently she was fairly wealthy. She had a large enough home where a crowd could gather, and that's where they were praying. So she, Mary, was the sister of Barnabas. Barnabas was living off on the island of Crete. He owned some, Cyprus. He owned some property there, but his sister Mary was in Jerusalem, and John Mark was her son. And Barnabas had wanted to take John Mark with him in an apparent effort to give him a second opportunity to victory over his initial failure of abandoning Paul and Barnabas to flee home to his mother. If you go back to Acts chapter 13, verse 13, you'll see what this, if you want to call it, spiritual faux pas was that occurred. In Acts 13, 13, when Paul and his companion and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, whose surname was Mark, departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. And we know, of course, from Acts chapter 12, verse 12, verse in Jerusalem, and when they'd considered the thing, Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. So he went back to Jerusalem, and apparently he went back to be with his mother. He didn't want to go back to the church of Antioch. That was too embarrassing to go back and saying, you know, I've washed out as a missionary. So he went back to the place where he would be most comfortable and preserved and protected. That would be his mother. So Barnabas wanted to take him with him as they started out on this second missionary journey to see how all of the people, the believers that they'd led to the Lord, were doing. But verse 38 is very interesting. Paul did not want to take a man unless he had first been proved. And you'll remember in 1 Timothy verse 3, verse 10, Paul said, let a deacon be first proved before you put him into the office of deacon. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, he said, lay no hands suddenly on any man. In other words, don't condone a man for an office, or don't bring a person back in after he's sinned in regards to church discipline very quickly, lest you be a partaker in that man's sin. And Paul was concerned, obviously, that John Mark might actually harm new believers were they to see him flee home again. If John Mark came with him and they ran into some difficulties with some new believers in the churches that they were visiting, and John Mark says, I'm out of here, bye, and he left, that would send a very strong signal of weakness and a very poor example to new believers. One of the things you learn around a new believer is that the person who's supposed to be the example has to demonstrate himself as being strong and reliable. It's kind of like children. Little children especially become very, very concerned if they see their mother break down and cry or lose her composure, and the father too. That makes them feel very, very insecure. So those who are in leadership need to show strength and stability. So the last thing Paul wanted to do was to take a chance with a man who had not been proven to be strong. So a sharp disagreement arose between the two missionaries. Verse 39 of Acts 15, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. It's interesting that the English Standard Version, the New International Version, and the King James all use the term sharp, sharp disagreement. You can only read in between the details. I mean, they weren't yelling at one another, but they were absolutely not seeing eye to eye at this at all. Barnabas said, look, you're going to destroy this man unless you take him with us. And Paul says, we take him with us, we're going to destroy new believers out there. We can't do this. So there's an insolvable situation here. Well, Barnabas and Saul then went in different directions on different ministry functions. This is something that has happened throughout church history, sadly, but it has happened. And they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed back to Cyprus. Now, it's interesting, on the first missionary journey, they'd gone from Antioch to Cyprus, and John Mark had stayed with them. But it was the trip from Cyprus up to Pamphylia, which is in the central part of southern Turkey, where John Mark decided to get away and go back home. So apparently what Barnabas did, he took him back to the area where he was still experiencing some success in the ministry. And apparently he worked with him and worked with this man so that he would mature. He took him under his wing and discipled. This is a very good thing. When a believer has washed up or he has failed in some area, sometimes he needs another Christian to come alongside. And what you do is you take him back to the point of failure. And then he redoes it. I heard one time of a man who was a religious man. And if he accidentally went through a stop sign without recognizing it, he would go around the block and come back and stop. So he made sure that he righted his wrong. But anyway, that's a pretty good idea. But that's exactly what was happening here. John Mark was taken by Barnabas back to Cyprus. Now, Paul, on the other hand, chose Silas. Remember, Silas was one of the two men. Silas and Judas had been witnesses at the Jerusalem Council, and they had left the Jerusalem Council to be witnesses that Paul and Barnabas were teaching the right gospel. He'd come. And Silas is a Gentile name. So Paul is in the process of reaching out to Jews and Gentiles. Who better to take along than a Gentile who had come to know Christ as his Savior? He certainly understood the Gentile mind. So this actually equipped Paul's missionary team to be that much more poignant in its effectiveness in reaching Gentiles for Jesus Christ. So Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. It's very interesting how the church responded to this. The church recommended them to the grace of God. Sometimes the church can do nothing other than just recommend people to God's grace. You run into situations where it's very, very divisive. I'll never forget, we have a missionary that we are currently supporting who was at a mission at one time. And there was a division between him and that mission, so he went off and started his own mission. And we were caught in between, you know, the two groups. Now what are we going to do? And we decided, and I believe properly, to remain with this missionary because there were two sides of the issue. There was nothing about money, anybody stealing money. There wasn't any particular sin that we had in mind. There was just a very strong disagreement between him and the board of the former mission as to how they ought to be functioning. So he started his own ministry, and we've continued to support him. And we're still supporting missionaries that have been with the other mission. So And, of course, that missionary was with that other mission. Has since left that mission. He's gone on to another mission. But we rightfully did the right thing. All we can do is just commit sometimes people to the grace of God because we don't know all the facts. And we just have to leave that with the Lord. So the church wisely committed Paul and Silas to the grace of God, leaving with the Lord this origination of two missionary outreach teams. One thing you can say positive about this, now instead of one missionary team, you have two. So sometimes, even in division, even when strong human weaknesses occur, God in His grace takes it and multiplies that in His own wisdom for His glory. Now, in God's grace, the division did not lead to a break in Christian fellowship, but it ended very victoriously. Shortly before his death, some years later, the Apostle Paul asked Timothy in a letter to bring John Mark with him to minister to Paul, because John Mark by then had become profitable to him in the ministry. I'd like to turn to a very interesting passage that tells us, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, in verse 6, Paul is writing to Timothy. This is the last epistle that we have of Paul before his martyrdom. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's speaking about his death. But you go down to verse 11, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable for me, to me for the ministry." And in Dr. Ryrie's footnote, Mark and Paul had overcome the differences that had caused their earlier separation. Now, when Paul was writing the book of Colossians, Mark was in the process of rebounding. He hadn't completely come back to the point where he was profitable. And Paul says, "Now, you have instructions about John Mark. You already know what to do in reference to him. He's coming to you." So apparently he was on a trial ministry at that particular time, but he was on the rebound. What's fascinating is that this Mark is the same one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So thanks to Barnabas, who kept working with this man, and of course he would have been a witness, an early witness of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was very close to Peter. We know Paul, Peter's words in Mark's Gospel are very, very accurately, very precisely recorded there, so we know that they were very close. And some believe that Mark's Gospel was actually the first one in a timeline that was written, Mark's Gospel, and then Luke and Matthew were written, and it used a lot of the material of Mark because Mark was had laid out and organized it. And then many years later, John's Gospel was written. So there's a tremendous lesson that is to be taught here about not just letting a Christian dangle, but you know, if he's had a weakness, a problem, we need to keep working with him. And then Paul also continued to think highly of Barnabas. In fact, he referred to him respectfully in 1 Corinthians 9:6, where he says, "Or do only I and Barnabas not have the right to take along a wife?" And when he wrote 1 Corinthians, remember, Paul didn't even go to Corinth until after his first missionary journey. He went to Corinth on his second missionary journey. So when he's writing the epistle to the Corinthians, he's writing it well after the division between him and Barnabas. But he still speaks highly of Barnabas. So the Lord used this, and God worked. But there's an even bigger lesson than that. The whole division could have been avoided had both Paul and Barnabas initially followed the Lord's directives very precisely back in verse 2 of Acts 13 on their first missionary journey. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. "Now there came about, there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Saul is, of course, the Jewish name of Paul. Paul had a Gentile name by the name of Paul, and Saul was his Jewish name. "And as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." You'll notice he did not say, "Separate unto me Barnabas, Saul, and Mark for the gospel, for the ministry." Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. Now, what happened is John Mark went with him. Now, why did John Mark go with him? John Mark had come with him as they had returned, as Paul and Barnabas had returned from Jerusalem. They'd gone down there for famine relief, and that's when Herod put James to death, and then Peter was released and so forth. But after the famine relief, when they came back, John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, came with him. He wanted to see what this church situation was like, so he had come with him. So now that these two are sent out on the missionary journey, If John Mark remains alone, he doesn't have his uncle with him. So he wanted to go with his uncle. The only thing is, God hadn't sent him with his uncle. They went on their own. Now, God didn't say, shame on you for taking him, because God knew what was going to happen. He knew eventually there would be two missionary teams. John Mark eventually would be discipled, and God was going to, in his grace, work with us. But they could have avoided this entire situation if they had precisely followed the Lord instead of launching out on their own. So it was a human decision by these two men, Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, that had not come from their precisely following the Lord's command. So when John Mark, who had not been ready or called of God for the hard work of missionary outreach, left with the team on their journey, and then had failed there, it created a crisis for the second missionary journey that was solvable only by the painful parting of Barnabas and Paul. Huge lesson. God graciously created two teams to solve a deep division between Paul and Barnabas, and he blessed in the end. But the division could have been avoided had they initially accurately followed the Lord. So if deep divisions occur among believers, may we trust God for the solution and not harbor malice toward other people. One thing, you know, even if there is a strong disagreement between us and some other Christian and there's a parting of the ways, the last thing we need to do is to harbor malice or hatred. Many times Christians have differences of opinion because there's a difference in maturity level. Sometimes they have differences of opinion because the situation itself creates a tremendous conflict. John Mark could not just be abandoned. And Barnabas, who was his uncle, couldn't just abandon this man to be destroyed because in front of the entire church he was turned down from going on a missionary endeavor. On the other hand, Paul had a tremendous point. You can't take a man who's not proven on a missionary journey to weak believers who may see this weakness and actually hurt their discipleship. We're not talking just about one Christian. We're talking about hundreds of Christians out there whose discipleship may be damaged because there's a poor example in the missionary team. So the only way you could solve it was parting. So we need to make sure that we don't harbor malice. Paul and Barnabas didn't harbor malice towards one another. They had the highest respect. But may we obey Scripture precisely to defuse opportunities for division. I've learned in my own walk with the Lord, especially in the pastorate, I have often gotten into trouble or started to get into trouble when, with all good intentions, I launched out in a direction that the Lord really hadn't told me to go. But in all good intentions, I went out there thinking I could do some good. Just to step out and all of a sudden create fly in the ointment. And I'd have to turn back and come back and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he leads. And sometimes he doesn't want you to do anything but just what you're doing. He doesn't want you to try out because he's got some other plan in mind to cover that particular barrier. So he wants other Christians to handle it. So there's a tremendous lesson here. We need to follow the Lord. We are often taught, particularly in our culture here in the United States, to be self-motivating and to be someone who takes initiative. Within reason, it's good to take initiative. There's nothing wrong in taking initiative to do that which is biblically correct and righteous. But if we take initiative to step out on our own to do something with all good intentions, and we don't have biblical guidelines, we could actually be creating a problem without trying. So we need to be very careful to follow. The Lord has His own ideas as to what He wants us to do and what He does not want us to do. And He has His own ideas as to what He wants other people to do. He also has a timeline, I'm finding out. Interesting timeline. Sometimes we may see a need and want to address it, and God says, that's fine, but in order not to create a problem, we need to wait 6 months before we address it. Then we address it, then there's no problem. So may we learn to follow well, because only when we follow well can the Lord really, really use us. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this issue. It could be on something else that comes up or has come up this past week or another topic. Either one.